Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Normally, I like to take a text and then stick with pretty close to that text or a topic and run through our Bible and see a few places where it exists or where we see it. But in order for us to understand our text this morning, we do have to keep our Bibles open and see a few passages of Scripture, and then we will expound the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Obviously, the subject this morning is going to be charity. Let's read down to verse 8. 1 Chronicles. I can't even speak. Slow down. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful today to gather. We ask you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may clearly understand what's being spoken here. Father, help us to be very knowledgeable of how to apply these things in our lives today. Help us to be very responsive to what your Holy Spirit is teaching us. May we recognize that the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, and where we are reproved by the Scripture and corrected by the Scripture and instructed by the Scripture, may we follow it. And we ask you, please, to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, Paul exhorts us to follow what he calls the more excellent way. Look at the last verse of the prior chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 31. It says, "Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you," watch it, "a more excellent way." And then he shows you in chapter 13 what that more excellent way is. And he calls it the more excellent way of charity. Now, in this passage, he describes charity in detail, beginning with verse 4. He runs down, and we're going to look at that this morning. But before we do, we need to understand something. What we need to understand is, what is charity, and how do we follow it? You know, when I began to look at this passage of Scripture and start thinking about charity, I'm thinking, okay, what is it? We've heard about it. Some will say, well, you know, if you go to the Greek, it's agape, love. And some say, if you go here and there, it's this, or you look up what somebody else treated about it. You know something? I've always found that when you're not sure of something, a word being used in the Bible, you can just study the Bible. And the Bible is going to show you what that word is, unless it's a word that you just have trouble defining, that's simple to look up. Charity is not one of those words that you can simply look up and get a good dictionary definition on, because people already have in their mind what they think it is. And we oftentimes have done the same thing. I've said, when people have said to me, "What's charity?" I say, "Well, it's love in action." Well, that sounds good, but I need something that's, to me and to us, more compelling. I need something scriptural by way of definition. And so what we're going to do is we're going to study some cross-references and see what the Bible says about charity so that we can nail it down. Now, you're not going to find charity in the context of every one of these, but by the time we finish looking at some cross-references, I think you'll have a very clear biblical understanding of charity. First of all, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Like I said, normally we don't spend time in the introduction of a message to go through and look at some definitions, but if you don't know what we're talking about, then we're not helping ourselves at all to understand this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 5. The Bible says, "Now the end of the commandment." Now the end of the commandment is charity. "Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. In other words, when God gave us the commandments in the Old Testament, the ultimate objective of the commandment was the fulfillment of the law, and the fulfillment of the law is charity. In other words, as we go through and look at some of these cross references here in the next few minutes, you know what you're going to find out? Charity is the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22 and notice when Jesus Christ was being tempted by some Pharisees, Matthew chapter 22, they were trying to catch him in his speech. They were trying to find something they were trying to capture a sound bite they could use against him at his trial that they could broadcast among the people. And they tried this and that, and they were not having any success. And so in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 22, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now we know that, right? We are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. All right, and he says this is the first and great commandment. Now look what he says in verse 39. "And the second is," what's the next word? "Like." "And the second is like unto it." So he says, well, if you understand the first commandment, then understand that the second commandment is just like the first commandment in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, all that stuff that I gave you to do with sacrifices, all that stuff I gave you to do with unclean meats and clean meats, all that stuff I gave you to do about not killing and not committing adultery and not bearing false witness, all you want to know what it's all about? It's about loving me and loving your neighbor as yourself. If you got that, then that's that. On that hangs all the law and the prophets. So we're commanded, obviously, to love the Lord first, but he doesn't say exclusively. He says, likewise, that is, as you love me, likewise you are to love your neighbor as yourself. All right, now you say, yeah, but that's Matthew. That's before the cross, so we're not obligated to that. Well, turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, that's the commandment. And we don't have the commandments to get saved. You're right, we don't keep the commandments to get saved. But you know what? We don't disobey the commandments after we get saved. Now that you're saved, is it right to commit adultery? Is it right to commit murder now that you're saved? Of course not. So you don't keep the law to get saved, but you don't throw out the law now that you are saved. And Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another." All right. "For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Well, the law is fulfilled in us through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and through his righteousness that was imputed to us when we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Do you understand that? I know me well enough to know I am not good enough to be saved by what I do. I know that. But Jesus Christ was good enough and lived a perfectly righteous life. And when he takes away your sin and gives you his righteousness, suddenly you're as good as he was because his righteous life is fulfilled in you. But he says, as far as our conduct with each other is concerned, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And what does Paul quote in order to affirm that? The second commandment. You ever read the book of Galatians? Turn there to Galatians chapter 5. You ever read the book of Galatians? You know what Galatians is about, among other things? You know what he is? He is drilling into the people of Galatia. You don't keep the law to be justified. Get that nonsense out of your head. That's what he tells them. You cannot be justified by the deeds of the law. Galatians 2:16, he tells them. But in Galatians chapter 5, when he's talking about their conduct in the church, notice what he says in verse 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. All the law is fulfilled in one word. You know what that one word is? He doesn't even write it in the text. It's charity. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he speaks practically. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. What's he saying? He says, I know how it is with people. When you get together, there's a little friction. So when you're biting and devouring, make it more like dog play than a coyote and a deer. You ever seen dogs roughhouse with each other and they... Well, we're Christians and we're supposed to love each other, but part of our loving each other involves a little... You say, how do you know that? I'll tell you what. Sometime this past week, you had something bad to say about your brother or your sister or your parents or your children. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, if I stood up here behind this pulpit and I said something bad about your brother or your sister or your parents or your children, you would have me for lunch. That, you know what that is? That's love, but there's a little biting and devouring that goes on. He just says, when you do that, take heed you be not consumed one of another. And how do you control it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he writes that law in here in an epistle where he says, forget the law, you're saved and justified by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, if he's going to do that in order to talk to us about our Christian conduct, I'll tell you what the one word is there in verse 14. And it's this. It's charity. That's what it is. You know what James calls this? Turn after the book of Hebrews to the book of James. James chapter 2. I'm telling you, you talk about how important this is in the New Testament. I'll tell you. Here's what James says. James chapter 2, verse 8. He says, I'm going to tell you this thing about loving your neighbor as yourself is so important. James says, I'm going to tell you what it's called. It's called the royal law. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. You do well. You know, we pray and we say, Lord, we want to please you. We want to do your will. I'll tell you, you're finding a way to please God right now. He says, keep that law and you're doing well. You're doing well. Now, Jesus Christ strengthened this. He strengthened this commandment when he was talking to his disciples. And everybody in here that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are by that a saved person. You are a child of God. That's what you are. And as a child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself took this commandment up one notch above the way it was written in the Old Testament. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, lest you think that we don't have to keep this. John chapter 13, I want you to remember something. Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples and he said, you've heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm going to tell you, he says, don't even look at a woman to lust after her. You've committed adultery with her already in your heart. You've heard, thou shalt not kill. He said, I'm telling you, don't even be angry with your brother without a cause. He took those two commandments up and he ratcheted them up a notch. In John chapter 13, he did the same thing in verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, a new commandment. In other words, you're not going to find this one in the Old Testament. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. You say, well, that's in the Old Testament. Yeah, but look. In the Old Testament was, love thy neighbor how? As thyself. In the New Testament, among brethren, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So what he's saying for us, we got to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that's anybody. That's charity. But as it concerns us, we got to love each other as Christ loved us. Do you get that? And that's how they know we are the disciples of Christ, because we are loving each other the way he loved, which was more sacrificial than loving your neighbor as yourself. In either case, he didn't get rid of it. Paul didn't get rid of it. James didn't get rid of it. Jesus didn't get rid of it. You know what charity is? It's the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what I believe. I don't think I have to go to Greek. I don't think I have to go to a scholar and find out how he interpreted it. I don't think I have to figure out anything other than what he keeps saying through the New Testament. That is charity defined. That is charity defined. Love thy neighbor as thyself. All right, now, the second thing, that's charity defined. Let's look at this from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is our text. Let's look at this. Charity delegated. We've seen charity defined. Now let's look at charity delegated. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let's read this passage of Scripture very carefully. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Paul, when he was talking to the Corinthians, told them that he said, I speak with tongues more than you all. But he said, I would that you would speak with understanding. The point being that Paul covered a lot of territory where he had to preach the gospel to different nationalities and different language groups, and God gifted him with the ability to talk with them, even though he didn't go to school to learn their languages. And he said, so if I have that kind of power, and he did, he said, if I could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but then he says, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What's he saying? He says, I can speak in the language they understand, and I can tell them what I'm telling you right now, but if I don't have charity, then what I'm saying is the same thing as if I was beating on a brass cymbal, bang, clang, or whatever this description is, however you want to view it, a tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. It's just like a gong. Boom. It's not profitable to them. What's missing? Charity. So he's saying, listen, I can go and fulfill my duty to these people by preaching these things in their language, but if I don't have charity, it's just noise. Wow. Whoa. Think about that. How many preachers are behind pulpits today that don't love the people that they're preaching to? That's convicting. When I read that in the context of what I understand now, I think to myself, God, help me to love our people. The last thing I want to do is get a message from the Lord, something right out of the Scripture, come in here and teach you, and because I don't love you, it's just bong, clang, ding, bang, and we leave out of here with nothing. That's convicting. That's convicting. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Whoa, that'd be something. And Paul did understand. He wrote about the mystery of iniquity, and he wrote about the mystery of the body of Christ, and he wrote about the mystery of the church. He did understand a lot of mysteries. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. That's a tremendous amount of faith. Paul had so much faith and so much power on him that he could touch a handkerchief, it could be sent to somebody else and they'd be healed. He says, and if I had all that and have not charity, watch it, I am nothing. Whoa, wait a minute. We say about Paul, he's a great apostle, the greatest apostle of all those. He even said in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, listen, I shouldn't be called an apostle because I was the one persecuting the church. That's what he said. He said, however, he said, I've worked harder than all these other guys. I've labored harder than all these other guys. And you know what he's saying? If I doubled it up and labor as hard as all these other guys and labor even harder than that, and I've got all these super gifts so that I can understand all this knowledge and prophecy and all these mysteries, I am nothing if I don't have charity. And we say about Paul, you're the greatest apostle. And Paul, Jesus would say, if it wasn't with charity, he's a blank. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that's a martyr, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Do you ever think that there's a possibility you might have some rewards waiting for you at the judgment seat of Christ? I mean, that should be an encouragement to you. That should be an encouragement to me. That's why God wrote these things in here for us about the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul says, I could go so much as to get rid of all of my wealth for the benefit of those who are poor, and I could die as a martyr by fire, and if I didn't have charity, it profiteth me nothing. Let me tell you something. Charity is a big deal. It is the controlling factor in everything that we do. It must be the underlying motive of all that we do for the Lord. All right? Now listen. Whose responsibility is that? Whose responsibility is it? You know, the Bible says that if you're saved, you have the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the components of that fruit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so forth, right? Love. It is easy to say, therefore, that the responsibility for me loving you rests with the Spirit of God. Because I get that as a benefit of being saved and filled with the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you something. I think the responsibility rests with us. And I'll tell you why. Because he says, if I speak with the tongues, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he did. And those were given to him by the Spirit of God and have not charity. Well, if he had the Spirit of God enough to be able to do tongues of men and of angels, then he should have the Spirit of God enough to be able to have charity. But he said, but if I have those and I don't have charity, then I'm sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He's taking responsibility for his own charity. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy, he did understand all mysteries. He did, and all knowledge. He did. He saw the revelations. And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, he had that kind of faith. And I have not charity, I'm nothing. He's taking responsibility for his own charity. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, he did. And though I give my body to be burned, he wasn't burned, but he was killed and martyred for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And have not charity. Listen, he had all that. He's accepting responsibility of the second commandment. He's accepting responsibility for charity to himself. And he says, I'm not putting this off on the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say something. I don't say that the Holy Spirit is excluded from this. But I'm saying I don't think the Holy Spirit takes control of you so much that he makes you love if you're not willing to love. And why do I say that? Because in Galatians, when we read about that, he said, if you bite and devour, take heed that you don't... Take heed that you don't consume, that you're not consumed one of another. What does he say after that? Listen, he says this, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, you know what he's saying? The Spirit of God will help you. But if you got it in your heart that you don't want to love somebody, he's not going to dominate you. Do I need help from the Spirit of God? I'll take all I can get. Some of you guys are hard to love. He says, love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm hard to love. You know what? Now that I know what I have in Jesus Christ compared to who I am without Jesus Christ, I hate myself. You know what I'm talking about. One more bonehead decision, one more time, the same sin you've been fighting most of your life, and you're like, when is this going to end? Tired of me. All right, so Paul accepts the responsibility. God doesn't take away our responsibility. He says, you are the one. You make the decision about charity. So charity defined is, I believe it's the second commandment. Charity delegated, it's on us. And it controls everything we do. Listen, some of us in this room are task-oriented people. We like to be given a task to do. We like to we're servant-oriented. We like to be given something to do for the sake of the Lord, and we can go do it. And Paul's telling us, if you're not doing that with charity, it doesn't count the same way that it does when the motive behind the thing is charity. Let's look at some things now about charity described. Charity described. And this is where we get into the meat of the chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, first of all, charity suffereth long and is kind. That's what charity is. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Verse 4. What does that mean? It means just what it says. When you have charity, when you really love your neighbor as yourself, you can put up with things from them for a long time. Those things cause you to suffer. Now, a good example of this is that some of us have children and that cause us to suffer. I mean, they're not doing things the way that God wants them to do them, and they're not doing things the way we want them to do them, and that's suffering. But you still love them. I mean, you are there. As a matter of fact, you're probably there too much with your love. Probably better off if you had more space and let God beat them up. Would God do that? Yeah, He would. Paul said about that guy in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he was somebody's kid because he was in there with his mother and father, his father's wife and his father. They were in that congregation together. Yeah, they were in there. And he says, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. How do you think his dad felt about that prayer request? He probably wasn't very happy. But the truth of the matter is, he says, we got to let God get in there. Sometimes our love is too much and we get in the way of what God's trying to do, right? So you understand charity that suffers long. He says the same way that you do that with your own kids, you know what you want to be able to do? You want to love other people so that if you got to put up with some of their stuff and it causes you to suffer, you can still love them. That'd be real. That's real. I'll tell you what, that's real good for men that think they want to go into the ministry. And he says, and is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. You know, Jesus said, as I have loved you. The Bible tells us about Jesus that he was kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Now, it's easy to be kind to you because you're kind to each other and you're kind to me. But it's not easy to be kind to people who are evil and unthankful. Jesus was, and he said, that's charity like that. He says, this is what you need to put away from yourself in Ephesians chapter 4. You need to put away wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice and all those bad things. Those things that well up inside of you. Put all that away and be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's charity. That's charity. And he says you can do that because the responsibility to love that way rests with you. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. And you know what he says near the end of the second letter that he writes them in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? He says, yet the more I love you, the less I be loved. He said, I'm pouring myself into you with great love, and the more I'm given, the less I'm getting out of this deal. And yet he didn't stop. He didn't write them off and say, so that's it. I'm never coming back again. I hate you. Boom. Paul the apostle. He probably wanted to at times, but he didn't do that. Why didn't he do that? Because charity is kind. He said, this is what I've been given to do, and I'm going to do it with charity. Now, that's remarkable. He goes on to say some other things. He says, charity envieth not. We're still in verse 4. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That doesn't sound like me at all. I mean, when I realize that charity is my responsibility, and I think of myself and my personality and my bearing, and I think about those things there, I'm thinking, boy, you didn't write that to me. But he did write that to me. And he wrote it to you. You see, the Bible says charity is not, envieth not. You know what that means? You don't envy sinners, and you don't envy saints. And you can do both of those. As a Christian, when you're growing up, you know, and you're in, let's say, you're at an age where you see the guys that are not saved seem to have it better than you do because they can go ahead and do all the things that you want to do and seem to get away with it. Envieth not. You know, when you see sinners, this is what people call peer pressure. You see somebody that has it better than you do, you get attracted to that and you think, that's what I want. I don't want to feel bad about sinning anymore. I just want to go and enjoy liberty. And it draws, you know what that underlying thing is? It's envy. And there are other people that say, you know, that preacher has a better church than I have. I wish I could have what he has. I need to do what he does so I can get. You know what's driving that? Envy. Envy. And he says, charity doesn't envy like that. He says here, charity vaunteth not itself. You say, what's that? Bragging and boasting. Bragging and boasting. You won't boast. You won't brag on yourself. Is not puffed up. What's that? That's pride. It's pride. Haughty, arrogant, superior spirit. I'm better than somebody else. Now, you won't go around telling everybody, I think I'm better than so-and-so. I play the piano better. I sing better. I preach better. I look better. I have better friends. I know more Bible. You don't say that. But your mind can run that way. And when your mind runs that way, he says, that's not charity. Charity won't do that. He says in here that it doth not behave itself unseemly. What does that mean? Doing things that are unbecoming and out of character for a Christian. When you have real charity, you won't do things that are unbecoming and out of charity for a Christian. I was talking to a fellow one time in his house, and his grown son was there. I was sitting on the sofa, and his grown son sitting next to me, and fellow sitting over in his recliner, and wife sitting next to him. He had a bottle right here on the table. And we talk a little bit. Talk a little bit. You know what he was doing, right? Spitting out his chewing gum. Son over here sitting next to me doing the same thing. Son got up to go to the bathroom, and his dad said, you know, it's embarrassing for me sometimes to see my son do that, knowing I'm the one that taught him how. You know what the problem is? That's out of character for a Christian. That's unseemly, and charity won't do that for the sake of that boy. What kind of things do you allow at home that you don't want your children to do? That's not charity. What do you allow in your life that you don't want your friends to do? Those things are unbecoming for a saint. What are the things that you say that are unbecoming for a saint? Saints ought to act like, not ought to act like, but ought to be children of God and ought to be a parent. And charity is what causes us to want to live that way. He says here, seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. That's concerning the Lord or concerning others. Paul said in Philippians, he said, all seek their own and not the things that are the Lord Jesus. That's not charity. And he says you ought to esteem others better than yourself in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. You know, he says in Corinthians, you will seek their wealth and not your own. In other words, just an example, using myself as an example as a preacher, there are men in the ministry who are in it because of what they can get out of it. It's a job to them. They get a paycheck. They have a place. They have a thing that they can do, and so they're well compensated for that. And so they take care of the people so they can continue to be well cared for. Paul wasn't like that. It's totally different than that. He was in the ministry for the sake of those to whom he ministered, and not for himself. Why? He was seeking their wealth, not his own. The principal concern that he had is, what can I do to help you? As a matter of fact, in certain places where he went, Corinth being one, he said, I am not going to let you pay me because I don't want you to think that I'm in it for myself. I want to be sure that you know this is for you. And that's the way he did it. It wasn't that way in all churches, but the Corinthian church was a weak church, and it had to be that way for them. What drove him to do that? Charity. Charity. He says here is not easily provoked. You know what that is. That's those little things your wife does that make you mad. And the little things your husband does that make you mad, that get under your skin so easily. You know what the Bible says? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you get a thicker hide on you so that things that don't get under your skin, so that you can be tough enough to put up with the eccentricities of other people that you know. And they don't offend you. They don't provoke you. You don't feel like you got to get into it with them. And then he goes on to say, charity, after verse 5 where he says is not easily provoked, right at the end he says, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. What's that? Charity thinks no evil. You won't harbor wicked thoughts when you have charity. You know, listen, let's get down here let's get it down on a level where we can understand each other. All right, because this is the kind of thing that goes on all the time. when somebody is a salesman and he is willing or she is willing to lie to somebody else in order to make the deal, you know, charity is not the driving motive. It's not the driving motive. A fellow applied for a job and the guy says, well, this is a sales job. And he said, I can tell you right now, I don't want it. And the guy said, why not? He said, because I don't lie to people. The other person just laughed. What's the point? The point is when you are concerned about somebody else and charity is the driving force behind your relationship, you are going to be honest with them. Today you've got people with, because of all, well, first of all, because of the lust of our flesh and because of all the exposure we have to all this exploitation of sex, you got men that have wicked thoughts about women all the time. Charity is what you need. That's what stops it. You have women that have wicked thoughts about men. Solomon said in Proverbs, these six things that the Lord hate, seven are abomination unto him, and one of those is a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And you think, man, I'm trying every way I can to get control of this. I've had people say, how do I get control of my thought life? And I'm telling you what, if you fill your heart with charity, it will change your attitude about people. So that you don't think those evil things or cook up evil things about them. And evil thoughts toward each other, people that you don't like, people you want to stay away from and all that stuff. You will find your joy and your pleasure in the Lord and in His words rather than in sin. And so many people find pleasure in sin and in other things besides the Lord's words. And He says, when you have charity, this is where you get your fill. When he gets into verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and I said, charity is the second commandment. May I tell you something? The second commandment is like the first, and the first is as much a part of the second commandment as it is something that stands alone. What am I saying? When he says, beareth all things, charity toward God allows you to take anything he puts on you. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you take it gladly because you love him. And he says, believeth all things. That Bible is filled with words in there that God wants you to believe. And those words are what build your faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when you believe those things, you believe them because you love them. He that loveth my words and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. It's charity. That's the problem. Hopeth all things. That Bible is filled with promises. When your hope is lacking, your charity is lacking. When you love Him, you will stand in hope on all those things. What is our greatest hope? The blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you love Him, you're looking up. You're waiting for His return. Endureth all things. We live in a society where being a Christian is hard to do these days. Harder to do because of the pressure. It's always been that way. Paul said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I understand that. And you're dealing with it. He said, you love me, you'll put up with that. You'll endure that. You know, listen, when you find yourself in something that is testing your endurance, you'll do one of two things. You'll either run to the Lord or run to sin. But you're going to run to something. When people's endurance is tested, they run to sin. They'll go, whatever that is, and I don't want to even name sins because I don't want to leave out yours. But they run to sin for relief. Or they run to the Lord. And when it's charity, you'll run to the Lord. And by that, you will endure all things. And then you know what he says? Charity, verse 8. Never faileth. When your love is real, it never fails. Oh man. I don't know how you're feeling. When I went through and began to put this message together, I was getting worked over in the worst way. Our relationships with our spouses would be a lot better if we had charity. You say, well, my relationship's pretty good. Could it be better? Boy, my relationship with folks that I know in the church could be a lot better if I had charity. Do you ever feel, after some messages that we preach here once in a while, do you ever feel like, man, I really need to go witness to my neighbor? I do. I feel bad about that, and then I put it off on you and make you feel bad about it. Matt, listen. And that, when I say neighbor, it could be in your neighborhood, it could be your coworker, it could be anybody. Do you know how much easier that would be if you really loved them? Well, that would change, wouldn't it? If we really loved them, why, you wouldn't have to be told. You'd be like that man in Decapolis who got healed, and he said, I want to go with you. Jesus said, no, go tell your friends. Buddy, he had some friends, and he went and told them. Right. See, this charity controls everything. It controls the relationship with our children, with our spouses, with our us as Christians, our relationship with the Lord, and people that don't even know Jesus Christ. He says, be good to all men, especially they of the household of God. All this is controlled by charity. And let me tell you something. When I looked at that from the standpoint of conveying this to you, I thought, you know something? I got some work to do. It's easy to say, God, if you'll just put more love in my heart, I'll love them more. And I can hear the Lord saying, you know, if you'd love them more, I'd put more love in your heart for them. Man, I tell you what, this is what Paul said. This is where it rests with us as Christians. This is where there's profit. This is where we are not nothing. This is where it counts, is in charity. My question to you is very simple. We've done a charity check, right? Could you use a little more? Man, I could. I could use a lot more. It would be for your benefit. Be the benefit of those that are lost. It'd be for my benefit. Paul said, it profiteth me nothing. We need charity. And we need it in the worst way. And we need to take what the Spirit has given us with the love that comes from His fruit. And let it change our lives toward God and toward each other. Amen. Father, we're sure thankful today to be instructed out of the words of God. I'm asking you, please. You know, there's a lot of preaching these days on love. But this I see here is pretty meaty. It really speaks to my heart, and I hope to the hearts of these that are gathered here today. Father, I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be responsive today to the work your Holy Spirit is doing in our lives and in regard to this message. Lord, if we need to take a little time to prayerfully consider what we've heard, allow you to make changes in our lives, beginning with our response today. Father, would you do that, please? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I want to ask you this simple question. If you agree with me that we could use more charity, would you be willing today to be more charitable? You see what it is. I would, and I pray you would as well. Some of us find in a message like this that there's some conviction. We want to take a little time before the Lord. I didn't preach evangelistically and emotionally, try to stir your hearts so that we would fill the altar with people who want to walk out of here loving more. I simply gave it to you straight out of the Bible, depending upon the Holy Spirit to do something in all of our lives. But if God's spoken to you in a real special way today and you want to respond to Him by praying in your seat, praying here at the altar, I want to give you time to do that while we sing. I'm going to take a little time to do that myself. And so I encourage you to be responsive to what the Spirit of God is showing you in response to what you've heard today. And we ask, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will help us with this very subject. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.